Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Church-run hospitals are being told to remove crucifixes and other religious symbols if a patient in the hospital asks them to do so. A new government report has examined the relationship between the state and hospitals run by religious orders. And bear in mind, a huge amount of hospitals around the country are run by religious orders. And it has told the hospitals that they should be conscious of the impact that their decor can have on a patient. The review concluded that the life and well-being of a patient must take precedence over religious ethos. Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? Because does the well-being and the life of the patient, is it compromised by religious symbols? I suppose that's a question that needs to be asked. But Taoiseach Leo Varadkar spoke to Shane Coleman on News Talk Breakfast this morning, and here's what he had to say about religion in our hospitals.
So it's not a campaign from the government or anyone to go around removing cribs or crucifixes or statues of Our Lady. No, that's not what's going to happen. But it is a message to charities and voluntary bodies that do run hospitals and schools, you know, just to have regard to these things. It is the 21st century. Things have changed. You know, a lot of patients, a lot of kids aren't religious, maybe aren't Roman Catholic. And the ethos of an institution that's publicly funded should reflect the public, not just anyone.
It's a tricky one, though, isn't it, Taoiseach? I mean, people texting him and saying, you know, the crib being removed from certain hospitals at Christmas. I mean, that seems a little over the top, doesn't it?
I think it's totally over the top, quite frankly, unless it's done for health and safety reasons or something like that. I have a different view of these things. I actually believe in the separation of church and state. I think that's right. But what I don't believe in is banishing religion to some sort of private space.
Okay, so no rush there by the government to remove religious imagery from hospitals. But what do you think? Would you like to see hospitals with no evidence of religion at all? And are there some, you know, you heard what Taoiseach said, no, we would, taking away the cribs is too much. I'd hate to see the cribs go. To me, they are a symbol of Christmas, and I love that. I don't feel quite the same way about the crucifix, which is obviously a symbol of Easter. But what do you think? You know, and can you be completely a la carte about, no, we'll keep the crib, but we'll get rid of the statue of the Virgin Mary? Like, where do you draw these lines? And do some people get a degree of comfort? The vast majority of people in our hospitals are elderly people, let's be honest. Do you get some degree of comfort from some of these things, some people? Is there still a place? Let us know what you think, 53106. But to discuss all of this, I'm joined now by Father Paddy Byrne, who is a curate in Portlaoise. Paddy, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Ciara. And just on an aside, day 59, I really love my walk.
Fair play.
As well, but significantly, and it's another debate, it really helps. In a job where it's often high powered, where there's emotion in it, it just is doing me the world of wonders. So thank you for that.
Well, no, thank you for saying that, because I, to be honest, I do it for the same reason myself. I do it largely for my head, to get out and just clear the brain cells a little bit.
And it's easier these mornings in that the light is brighter and it's getting better every day. So keep at it.
You too. We'll talk to you on day 100. Thank you. But Father, look, what did you make of this? I mean, dare I say it, as somebody who has devoted your life to being a priest and to the vocation and to Catholicism, does your heart sink when you hear these types of debates about hospitals and removing religious imagery? Do you feel a little bit like they're trying to remove you, they're trying to put you all in exile or whitewash you out of the picture? How do you feel when you hear these conversations?
I feel, to be honest with you, I feel very much okay. Part of my work, I cover a 48-hour-a-week duty in the local hospital here with my colleagues. I'm a chaplain employed by the HSC in a space that, you know, it's a multicultural context. There are people sick, there are people of all faiths, no faiths, yes, predominantly Roman Catholic, in a maternity hospital, a different debate post-repeal age. But I feel very comfortable. I feel part of an multidisciplinary team. And certainly my role as chaplain in a hospital is very relevant. And yes, I have a situation this or the year gone by, thankfully only for less than 24 hours, finding myself ill in A&E. A colleague called up to me, never sick a day in my life. All it was a blood pressure issue and perhaps working too hard. And he simply said something to me when I was on an A&E bed. He said, "Paddy, would you like me to say a prayer with you?" And I felt reversal of roles here, something that I do every day in the hospital context. But in no way, Ciara, I think, like, I'm not going to start now canonizing Leo Varadkar here, but I have great respect for him in terms of, I remember his speech that he made when Pope Francis addressed the political leaders and leaders of various groups. I again, it's considered, it's real. I don't think that I'm sure all chaplains, we're professionals, we're not just clowns, you know, trained in our role. But, like, you know, you get the lie of the land. If I'm going into a hospital, and again, you know, we speak about hospitals here and crucifixes. Some people, Ciara, have the comfort, and I think...
Oh, have I lost you, Father Paddy?
All right,
we can sideline these debates in terms of, you know, some people are comfortable enough in their illness to have a nice room. Others are in an eight-bedded sardine ward.
Yeah.
Some people have carpet in their room because they have private healthcare. They have a nice television. They have a menu. Others are, you know, struggling to try and put a spoon of soup at 11:30 this morning in a cramped ward because they are dependent on just public health care. And I think as hospital chaplain, I'm more fundamentally concerned with the justice of that than whether a statue of the Virgin Mary is in the front of the hospital or a cross.
Yeah.
I agree with you as well. You know, I was part of in this hospital where I work, it's a fantastic place to be a chaplain. And one feels part of, again, of a wider caring group. And in that end of life space that we're often called to, where people are terminally ill, you know, in no way would I ever just gush in with Jesus here. You know, there is sensitivity, there's conversation, there's presence. And if one wants that conversation, and in fact, very few people, when they're sick, say, "Go away, I don't want..." The last thing I want to do is to talk about Jesus. But you just be professional and you're sensitive. And I think most chaplains, and predominantly most chaplains are lay people now, highly trained, that they have that sensitivity about them, not to be brushing religion down someone's mouth if they don't want that.
I've met loads of hospital chaplains. And,
sure.
And some of them are lay people and some of them are religious. And I have always found them to be very sensitive to the needs of patients, to be honest. I feel a bit funny about this because I am not religious, as you may or may not know, Father Paddy. I am actually an atheist myself. But having said that, I entirely respect that some people get comfort from religion and all that. And I actually think that's the role religion should provide within healthcare. I'm less happy about religion having the ethos having an influence on clinical decisions. But I've no difficulty at all with what people get by way of succor, or, you know, the hand holding. And people are texting these very interesting things. Somebody says, "I'm an atheist." I'm trying to read that. Where is that one? But somebody was saying that they weren't related. Where? I've lost my thing. Sitting in the chapel. Yeah, I was in hospital recently and I got great comfort from being able to sit in the chapel. I'm not particularly religious or Catholic, but it was a space. And I see the value. I don't think they should dream of doing away with chapels for a start. And I'm not even sure about religious iconography or symbols, because I think for some people they have a meaning that's benign and warm and might give them, particularly if they're at end of life or those types of things, that might give them comfort. But I'm taking on board other people are texting stuff saying, imagine if you were the victim of clerical abuse, or imagine if you were, you know, if you were hurt by the church. People are texting those types of things saying, should they be there? Is it a complicated issue, this idea we have about separating church from state, I suppose, organisations and institutions, but at the same time allowing believers to have access to elements of religion that give them, in their hour of need, and maybe in their hour of greatest need, some kind of comfort?
Yeah, well, I suppose, firstly, again, I'm not deflecting from the conversation, but it's an important conversation. And I think down the road, retrospectively, when we revisit history, we need a revisit in terms of even healthcare and the history of a religious association with healthcare. You know, at the moment, the brand of Catholicity particularly is rather toxic, not by everybody, but it's perceived as toxic. And you asked me at the beginning about a heavy heart. That gives me a heavy heart because, you know, once upon a time, the word compassion, inclusion, equality, all those words like justice, they were the moral compass and the vision of the origins of Catholicism, which is Christianity itself, and which I try to own and struggle to share, but I think I do a good job on it on the ground. I think, therefore, that, you know, there is a sensitivity. We're at a seismic shift in terms of culture. Mm. It's not too long ago in France where, you know, the churches were burnt, where religious were murdered, etc. It sounds dramatic, but I think the Irish people by and large, and I think with the maturity of leadership on this, in that fundamental conversation and need for separation between church and state in things like healthcare, education. And I think it gives us breathing space. It gives us perhaps, I'm speaking us in terms of where I'm coming from and in terms of a religious perspective, it gives you a healthier place. And I just think that in terms of in our local hospitals, in our nursing homes, in places where people are sick, one of the big priorities of the Christian message is to take good care of the sick. And my humble experience working in the hospital is that it's a place where there's huge ministry, where there's openness, where people find great comfort in the spirituality of hope. Often people, you know, in vulnerable moments ask ourselves, Jesus, is this it? Pardon the pun on the name of the Son of God for me, but is there something that the Lord can offer to me? And I firmly believe in the conversation, in the prayer, in the spirituality, there is. Yeah. Do I, in a secular space, respect those of no religion, those who have issues around religious symbolism? Of course I do. But I think there's breathing space for all of us in a modern progressive Ireland, in an Ireland where people have choices, that I think we must, in a liberal republic and democracy, live and breathe and coexist together.
I'm inclined to agree with you because you're saying for those who don't want it, I respect that. And I'm sort of saying the opposite side. For those who do want it, I respect that. And I think we need that mutual respect. I suppose so. I mean, I'm looking at the text lines and there are lots of people saying, you know, this is no big deal. I don't even see them. And other people are saying if there's comfort, it doesn't matter. I'm not a religious person. I'm an atheist. Like loads of people who aren't religious don't mind this. But a lot of people are texting around hurt and saying that they've been hurt or that other people have been hurt. Are we throwing out the baby with the bathwater, Paddy?
I think that.
Do you know what I mean? There is a reason that there's a backlash against the church. I have to say it. But are we losing some of the good that the church can and has done because of, I suppose, what the church has done wrong? And the church has done some very wrong things.
Absolutely, and I'm not here to defend what wrong has been done. And I fear as long as we, you know, I was going to say, just make a point there for those, and many of your listeners have disengaged from formal religion because of the hypocrisy of church. But I firmly believe that it's more important to keep your eye on the person of, and I hope I'm not getting preachy here, but the person of Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel is greater than just the dysfunction of an institution that has failed so many people. And I think that's personally what keeps my spirit alive, what nourishes my hope, and what makes ministry wonderful. And I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing but for that. Most people in ministry, I think, are intelligent. And I think we need an intelligent and honest conversation, even among priests. I think the vast majority of us feel in a perhaps at moment like what is here. I think it's a much better place 2019, 1st of March tomorrow, than it was 2001 when I entered into priesthood and was ordained. It's a far better Ireland, a far better church in terms of, because all what has hidden has been revealed. I think it takes time to shed the codology and the whole area of the historical scandal, the historical massive amount of trust that was broken, but deep core of what I stand for will remain. And the truth is that that compassion and mercy and love and hope and consolation to people in hospital and outside of hospitals offers strength and consolation. And that's why I do what I do. And I think the vast majority of people respectfully respect that perspective.
I think they do. And I certainly respect what you do. And I mean that genuinely, I do. Loads of people text me and say, Ciara, I'm an atheist and signs of religion don't bother me as long as religious ethos isn't part of medical decision making. Everyone is entitled to believe or not, but health shouldn't be about belief. I agree with that person completely. Someone says, Ciara, I'm no longer a practicing Catholic. When I was in labour in a Galway hospital, there was a crucifix on the wall beside me and I actually found it disturbing. On the other hand, I love the crib, the Christmas crib. We do seem to view the crucifix and the crib very differently. I suppose they're very different images. Somebody else says, I work in a religiously backed hospital. They insist on saying a prayer before all meetings. I find this crazy in this day and age, and it excludes those who aren't Catholic or who don't practice like myself. I don't think meetings are the right place for prayer in this day and age. I think that's a bit of an anachronism, and I wouldn't worry. Can I just come back to the crib crucifix debate? Because a lot of people seem absolutely delighted to keep the cribs and not keen on the crucifixes at all, looking at the text. I never thought of this because I went to a convent school and literally our classrooms were within the, you know, right beside the nuns' sitting room and all of that when I was young. And so I grew up, like many people in this country, with statues and crucifixes and all of that. But somebody was saying to me only maybe a year ago that the crucifix, particularly for children, is a particularly macabre kind of image, particularly if there is a Jesus dying on it. I'd never thought of that because it's been there for as long as I can remember. But are there issues, do you think, that some of the imagery is actually very dark and disturbing, and maybe we become immune to it because we're used to it, but actually people don't want it around their kids and that kind of thing anymore. Are you there, Paddy? Have I lost Paddy? I have lost Paddy. Look, we'll keep going. I'd love to know what people think. 53106. Do you think that, you know, I'm absolutely, and I was very cognizant, I'll tell you what this is, when I knew we were going to do this item today, I wanted to give Father Paddy a very fair hearing because I genuinely believe he's a very decent man. And I wanted to sort of have an open debate about it. But some of what I was feeling coming into work today was just the anger that I felt, because yesterday, obviously, in the news, people were talking about Cardinal Pell's conviction and some of the things that his legal team said. His lawyer, Robert Richter, said, well, you know, on the scale of abuse, he described his abuse of children as vanilla sex as opposed to some other kind of worse thing. And I felt physically sick, to be honest, that somebody would describe the rape of a child in those terms, I have to say. And that kind of thing is colouring what people are bringing to text lines, what people are bringing to these conversations. The failure of the church to deal with those types of things is its Achilles heel. And it is one of the sticks that will be used forevermore to beat the church with if they don't sort it out. And I you know, I'm very sorry that we lost and we did lose the line of Father Paddy Byrne, the curate from Portlaoise, who is a genuine man who ministers in hospitals and tends to the sick and has devoted his life to him. It must be very hard to be a decent priest trying to do all those things and work for an organisation that is so easy. It is so easy to throw mud at because of the way it has behaved. It deserves all the criticism that it gets. It has behaved appallingly. But is there still good that needs to be saved? And are there people who have a genuine belief and faith and they get a comfort? Where do we draw the line as we become increasingly secular with the respect that we show people's faiths and people's belief system? I do think it's impossible to kind of be black and white about this issue. 53106, let me know what you think. Loads of text. Some says, dear doctor, are priests to be banned from visiting wards? Are doctors of other faiths banned from wearing certain items of headgear? I don't think so. I in France, they have done away with crucifixes and things. People aren't allowed to wear them around their necks in certain settings, you know, as a necklace. Is that going too far? I suspect that it is. You don't have to be religious to respect other people's belief systems. And somebody says, Father Paddy is an absolute gentleman. I was a teacher in Portlaoise for 9 years and he really is a man of the people. And ask him, has he any tips for Cheltenham? He's gone. But maybe, Father Paddy, if you do have any tips for Cheltenham, maybe text in and we'll give them out. Look, we might take a short break here. Let me know, 53106, though. Would you like to see a hospital completely whitewashed of all religious imagery and symbols and all that? Is that what we want? Maybe it is, including cribs, or would you like something a little bit different? in the first hour, and people are still wanting to talk about it. The idea of removing religious symbols from our hospitals. Someone says, Ciara, I had breast surgery last Monday. I was so scared, but when I saw the crucifix on the wall outside theatre, I cannot express the joy I felt. Please leave us our religious emblems. Anyone who doesn't believe in God can ignore them, but I find prayer a great consolation to me at this hard time. And thanks for that, Carmel. And Carmel, I hope you're doing okay, and I absolutely get that what you mean, and I respect that, and I think that there is some place for that for all the people who feel as you do. And it is people's hour of need when they're sick, and people often turn to God, let's be honest, when they're sick. They just do. Someone says, if we get rid of Christian symbols, will we also have to get rid of Muslim headscarves, etc., worn by the many excellent Muslim healthcare staff? Perhaps we could just live and let live. Many people facing serious operations get immense personal support from their religion, and I think that's true too. Although I do think symbols personally worn or personally adorning us are a bit different to ones on walls and institutionally endorsed. But 5316, let me know what you think. And Jer is on the line. Jer, you think that religion is still important in hospitals. Tell me why.
I'm not sure if I would say that it's important. I certainly don't like religious imagery. And even as a child, asked for the Sacred Heart to be taken out of my bedroom but I was in hospital a couple of years ago for breast cancer, and I was in there 12 days.
Yeah.
Felt quite alone because my family were a couple of hundred miles away and was pretty low. And the priest called in to see me, and I was taken aback at how good he made me feel, because
yeah,
it wasn't the imagery, it was the fact that someone was there and sat with me for a while. And I was certainly grateful that that somebody did pop into me every day and just gave me a spiritual feeling.
Yeah, I totally get that. I really do, Jer. I actually think that chaplains do a tremendous job, and they comfort the sick. Do you know what else? They comfort the bereaved. They comfort the dying.
Yes.
And at that point in our lives where we are suffering or struggling with a burden like ill health in ourselves or in a loved one, a bit of succor, a bit of comfort is as important in some ways as IVs and drugs and all of that, particularly if hope is lost. And I'm not suggesting that for you for a moment, but you know what I mean? If someone's in a bleak situation, somebody being there for you is hugely important and palliative, actually.
Yes, it is. And that's why the conversation kind of struck me today, in that, you know, I know we're dividing the church and the HSC and the other institutions, but sometimes there is still a need for some spirituality to be kept within for people who do need it.
Yeah, I know, I agree. And I think that's why I did, when I was talking to Father Paddy earlier on, I was saying, could we be throwing out baby with bathwater? People like the idea of clinical autonomy, and I think doctors and nurses should
absolutely
have it. That's one thing. But comfort is a much less rationally based thing. Comfort is, you take that where you find it. And if you are alone in the dark moments of the soul, if you're very sick, I think those things have a real value, and I think we have to be a bit cleverer about all of this. Look, thank you for that, Jer, and I hope you're well, and thank you for talking to us about that. Lily's also on the line. Lily, what do you think about the idea of the religious in hospitals?
Well, I brought a statue of the Sacred Heart up to my friend Bernie in hospital.
Okay.
And when I went up visiting her the next time, she said to me, the nurse that was on duty said, my goodness, that was really a quiet night last night. And she said to the nurse, it must have been the statue my friend brought up. And the nurse said, nobody even asked for a sleeping tablet.
And
so she got a nice quiet night because of the statue as well.
Okay. So you think that the statue that you brought up brought a bit of peace to the ward?
Yeah, definitely. And I think if we could respect each other's differences in these situations, everyone's entitled to what way they feel.
No, of course,
even
they
the
are.
People that don't agree with statues or crucifixes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, and if we all did that, the world would be a better place if we could all kind of just accept each other's differences.
Can I ask you just lastly, Lily, do you take great comfort in things like statues? Do they mean something to you? Do they, if you were upset or if you were struggling with something, would you turn to something like that to say a prayer?
I'd rather go to the church and pray to the statue myself, and I seem to always get what I'm looking for, and it's always very comforting me.
Look, isn't that a nice thing to have? And that's what faith is, I suppose. And thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for coming on, and I hope your friend is a bit better. And Paul is also on the line. Paul, you want to say something about something that happened to you recently? Tell me.
Yeah, so hi there.
How are you?
In November 2018, I had my baby boy in Hollow Street.
Okay.
And first of all, I just want to say that I'm a practicing Catholic and I had him christened and everything. But
yeah,
I found it very weird. A few hours after we delivered our beautiful baby boy, a priest came onto the ward.
Yeah.
And he asked, would anyone like me to pray to do a prayer for the baby? And at the time, I kind of thought nothing of it. But immediately after, once he left, because I actually did ask him to pray for my son, and he came over and did a lovely prayer.
Yeah.
But it was really weird. Like, I've worked in a hospital in the NHS, as did my husband, over in the UK before moving back. But we just thought afterwards, it was really strange, because in the NHS, you wouldn't be allowed to come onto the ward unless you're a family member and you were, you know, the mother or the father requested
okay.
that you allowed to come onto the ward. But I just found it really strange that there's this priest in his robes, roaming around the wards, asking if...
Okay, but you weren't offended in any way by what the priest had done. You weren't put off. I mean, you asked for the prayer, is that right?
Well, I had said, yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, I would like you to do a prayer for my son because I was happy to. But
yeah.
You could see everyone else in the ward is really uncomfortable. Like, we're trying to adjust to having a new baby. You know, this is my number one first child, and we're trying to adjust to like learn how to put a nappy on it. And then suddenly there was a priest there, and I just thought, you know, with everything that's going on with Hollow Street and, you know, the issues with the religious influence and ethos, especially in a maternity hospital.
So you,
I thought it was strange.
Did you feel there was a degree, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth at all. Did you feel it was slightly intrusive?
Absolutely, because there shouldn't be anyone on the ward apart from the family. And
okay.
If I'd wanted to have the priest pray, it should be an option that I would go down or request.
You'd call for a priest. Okay.
In his robes on the ward. I just thought, we just both thought afterwards, you know, it was nice what he did, but it was very strange and it was intrusive. And I don't think it's fair to have someone like that on the ward. We've all got different religions. Some people are atheists, if I don't have any. So
yeah.
But for me personally, even though I am a practicing Catholic and I found it offensive.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I can see what you're saying, although I'm subtly, I suppose, surprised that a practicing Catholic would mind it. As in, you know, I can see why a lot of people, if they weren't, would be kind of going, why is there a priest coming over looking to pray over my baby? But I would have thought perhaps the Catholics who are practicing would have liked it, but even you didn't really want that.
No, because what if an imam had come onto the ward? I would find that offensive as well.
Yeah. You know? Okay.
It's not a moment for it to be, you know, it's a moment where parents can request for things, but not to have, you know, a religion walking around a ward. I could tell immediately after when he came into the bay and said, would anyone like a prayer? There was an awkward moment, and we were like, yeah, sure, go on, why not? Over you come. We'd love to have a prayer over our child. But for everyone else, and then even chatting to some of the girls in the bathroom as we're dealing with everything that comes with.
And there can be intimate issues going on that people don't want anyone other than family or healthcare staff there. I know what you're saying. I absolutely do. And I think I didn't know people...
Well, they even say on the ward that it says the grandparents and family members are limited to 2 hour slot on the ward itself.
Well, yeah.
I just found it very strange that someone, a midwife would say, come on into the ward and ask all these new mothers who just are walking around with their babies and having in a very, very vulnerable time in a moment. Anything could happen, like previous callers have said, with issues with religion in the past and priests in the past. I just don't think religion has a place in a hospital at all. Well,
you think it should be on request, rather, is the
Absolutely.
Way you would... Yeah, okay, very, very, very good point. Thank you for that, Paula, and congratulations on the baby. Someone says, either all religious symbols should be included or none. Leave religious symbols for religious buildings or homes, not schools or hospitals. I hear what you're saying, but loads of people are saying that they get something out of it. They like the crucifix or the crib or the various different types of things. Maybe last person on this is Donal. Donal, you were at a wedding in New York recently. Tell me about that.
I was at a wedding of two friends of mine who were getting married, and they wanted something a bit alternative.
Okay.
So they got married in the church at the United Nations in New York.
Okay.
And that's obviously, you know, all faiths there and all people and everything there. But they got married in the church of the United Nations, and the wedding before us was Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And as we went in, the rabbi was de-velcroing the Star of David off the wall, and our fellow was going along with the church or the crucifix and sticking that on the wall.
Right.
And so, you know, I wanted to, you know, it's all, you know, a Jewish wedding. 5 minutes later, the Catholic wedding, and the guy rattled through it in 5 minutes. They were married, and we were out there, and it was a wonderful thing. And I just thought, you know, maybe what you wanted on the church or the hospital walls is Velcro, and you know, whatever particular comfort blank of religion that you have, you can stick it up there.
That's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it?
If it's a spaghetti monster, you can stick that up there. And if it's, you know, Molotov or, you know,
whatever.
Jewish things, or whatever you want to do, you stick it up on the wall in front of you, and that's your comfort blanket. Look, hospitals, like, it's always a crap time to be in a hospital. There's very few very good times when you're in a hospital. So there's no atheists in a
foxhole.
A foxhole.
You know, you're quoting George Hook, you know, at me. That's a very interesting point, Donald. That like, should there be maybe a place in the room that if you are Jewish or Islamic, yeah, or Catholic or Protestant or whatever, or nothing. I don't mean nothing because that's a kind of a belief system. You know, as you say, whatever you are, you could put up a picture or something that is a comfort to you, yeah, about your own thing, but not have an overriding one.
Yeah. And did you picture your kids?
Yeah. And did you feel when you were in the Church of the United Nations that it was very inclusive? Because as you say, there was the...
Look, I mean, I'm a church of the giant spaghetti monster. I don't believe in any of that. I think it's all hokum.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't get geese any, you know, life's a shit and then you die. You know, that's the grim reality of things, you know.
Well,
I don't have religion. I don't believe in these things.
Yeah, I'm fairly
cut and dried, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I do understand that there's perhaps an older generation who get tremendous solace from these things, and solace, you know, can only be good.
Yeah. No,
so if they get it, that's fine. I don't, you know, I don't get it, and I never will. But if they want to stick pictures in the wall, that's fine.
Yeah, look.
But how to just have them removed?
Yeah, you're of the same exact mind as me. If there's solace in it, it's all good, but whatever you're having yourself. Look, thank you for coming on. Fair play. I might do a last text on this. James says, I agree with Paula. It's about respecting the patient's space and needs. Chaplains, etc. should be brought in on request, not forced on the patients. It is about consent. And there is a bit of that. And somebody else says, Bill Hicks once said that if Jesus came back today, he might not be too impressed to be surrounded by crucifixes. It's all a bit too much of a reminder for him. Goodness me. All right, let's move on to something entirely different. We're going to be talking after this about the fact, well, we're going to talk about our wonderful competition, but also about a new possibility for housing shares for the elderly, to provide roofs for people that can't get a house to live in, and to provide care for the elderly who can't afford care.